The holiday season is in full swing. Christmas is right around the corner, and that means the annual reappearance of film classics such as It's a Wonderful Life, A Christmas Story, Elf, Bad Santa, and one of my very favorites, Miracle on 34th Street. Those of you who are not old-time radio fans might not know that the original 1947 film starring Maureen O'Hara, John Payne, Edmund Gwenn, and a very young Natalie Wood was adapted for the Lux Radio Theater and performed live on air on December 22nd of that year. 76 years later, here we are. It's finally coming to Portland, thanks to the folks at Fake Radio, the nation's premier old-time radio comedy troupe. Fake Radio will recreate live on stage the original 1947 broadcast, including the commercials, just as it was done then, with actors on stage holding their scripts and standing before microphones. But unlike the original production, the Fake Radio actors occasionally go off script, especially for the commercials, much to the delight of the audience. The only Portland performance of Fake Radio's Miracle on 34th Street takes place this Sunday, December 3rd, at EcoTrust Irving Street Studio in Portland. We're fortunate to have Fake Radio's artistic director David Koff and two of the cast members here with us to preview the show, actor, writer-producer Jonathan Stark, a co-creator of the sitcom According to Jim, and actress Lynn Stewart, who among many other credits played Miss Yvonne on Pee-wee's Playhouse. Well, Jonathan, Fake Radio has a long history from its early beginnings in L.A., now here in Portland as well, under the direction of David Koff. He's the artistic director of Fake Radio. It's a little different than the usual live theater troupe. So can you tell us what listeners can expect at a Fake Radio show?
Well, what you expect, you're going to expect to laugh, first of all,
because yes.
What we do is the Lux Radio program was the most popular show on the radio in the 40s and even into the 50s. And what they would do was to hawk their shows when something came out, like in this case, Miracle on 34th Street, which actually came out in the summer of 1948. They cut it down to an hour and they bring in the stars. That they got Jimmy Stewart in Wonderful Life. They got all that Donna Reed, and they got all the stars in this. They got Edmund Gwenn and
John Payne, Maureen O'Hara.
John Payne, Maureen O'Hara.
Yeah.
These people, these people were not easy to get, but they knew this was a way to hawk their show and get, because they were on the most popular show on radio at the time. So what we do is we basically take that script, that hour script, and we read it. Now, we try and stick to the script for the most part, but as we go along, we start to diverge a little bit. We have a little fun with the lines, and by the end, it's just pandemonium. The interesting thing is, too, they have Lux Radio or Lux Flakes commercials.
Yes.
Part of it, they have announcers come in. They have starlets who you've probably never heard of and will never hear of. And everything has to do with Lux Flakes. And, oh, that complexion of yours, or Lux Toilet Soap. They call it toilet soap. Why? I mean, who wants to buy soap that with the name toilet in it? I don't know. They have Lux Toilet Soap. And, you know, it's just so funny. And sometimes within that, it gets a little misogynistic, not from our point of view, but from what's written on the script, because that was 1948. And, you know, it's fun. The audience is encouraged to groan at it and laugh at it. and we laugh right along with them. We have everybody in back of the microphones to get up and sit down and everything during the thing. And we sit back there and laugh just as much as the audience does.
Now, you've performed, Jonathan, in several Fake Radio productions. In fact, we first met, you were in Portland 5 years ago for one very memorable show, an 80th anniversary production of War of the Worlds, the Orson Welles version from the radio. As an actor, what do you enjoy about Fake Radio that maybe you don't get performing in stage theater or on TV?
Well, you know, with War of the Worlds, that's the only thing we don't improvise. We play that, we play the drama of that. We don't improvise it. And I love doing that because I worked with a couple actors there, Sam Mowry, who is just a terrific actor.
Just like Orson Welles.
Yeah, he does. And he was great. We did a couple of scenes together, and I just loved doing that scene with Sam.
Phil Proctor too.
Phil's wonderful. And then the other one, when we do the comedy, I think it's like the idea that we start out doing a dramatic show or something that everybody knows. That's why we do Miracle on 34th Street or It's a Wonderful Life, because everybody knows those. So they know when we start to go off script a little bit. So, you know, if you're doing a drama on stage or something like that, you can't very well just start improvising your lines. So all the people that are up there, and the Portland group is fantastic. They're just wonderful and great people. And Lynn knows that. She's been up there. And it just to be able to improvise within the drama is what makes it so much fun.
In fact, Lynn, you were here in 2019 for the Maltese Falcon fake radio production.
Oh, that was really, really fun. And the group's fantastic. I mean, they're all friends and they're very welcoming. You know, they were just lovely to me. It was like, you know, gobble gobble, one a buck. They were just so sweet.
Oh, you'll be joining the cast for the Portland performance of Miracle on 34th Street. There was one on the 18th in Los Angeles. What role are you playing in the Sunday show?
I'm going to play Doris. I'm going to play the woman who does not believe in Santa Claus and has the daughter, and who is in the movie. My daughter was Natalie Wood. And Maureen O'Hara played the part that I'm going to be playing now.
Ah, you're filling in for Maureen O'Hara. That's
I am. I'm filling in for Maureen O'Hara.
She's often mistaken for Maureen O'Hara.
I know. The spitting image. Now, Linda, do you have memories of Christmas past watching the original 1947 film on TV, or maybe even catching it on the big screen?
Yes, I do. I love the scene where Santa does sign language, and he speaks other languages to the kids that come up to him and sit on his lap, and Natalie Wood is just watching this, and she's so torn because her mother told her her mother had a bad breakup with her dad, and she's always tells her the truth because she doesn't want her to get hurt, and she says there is no Santa Claus. And then Natalie Wood starts to see this Kris Kringle, and he knows different languages, he knows how to do sign language, and he's exactly like her vision of Santa Claus, what Santa Claus is. She's torn. She doesn't know whether to believe her mother or believe her eyes and see how Santa reacts to the kids.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, Jonathan, how about you? What are your memories of the movie? I know it's both heartwarming and funny, kind of a perfect blend for the holidays.
Well, you know, I like any movie with Santa Claus in it. I mean, I just do. Even Bad Santa was fun for me.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, but this one is really particularly great because Edmund Wynn is just the best. I mean, I can't think offhand of a better Santa Claus in any film than Edmund Wynn. He was Santa Claus to me. You know, and I remember watching
when
I was younger, and I really thought he was Santa Claus, and maybe he is.
I wouldn't doubt it. Well, it was proven in a court of law in the movie, so it's good enough for me. Now, Lynn, I know David Koff, the artistic director, likes to have a certain degree of spontaneity and surprise in each fake radio performance, and you'll have the script with you on stage, as the other actors will. How do you prepare? Are there any read-throughs or rehearsals in advance?
We have like one read-through, but I'm going to be doing a commercial. I don't know which one, but with John. And John and I have worked together for so many years. And so if there's going to be any play or fun, that it'll be with John Stark, because I have a long history with him. We were in the Groundlings together. We're in an improv workshop. He's the wrangler. He's the catalyst. He's the one that got it all together. He's a unbelievably genius. I just could go on and on. Improviser.
Let me throw one back at you. When I first started in the Groundlings, I actually was in, I don't know, one of the classes there. I got a job working as the stage manager, one of the stage managers on the original Pee-wee show. Now, I didn't know Lynn or Paul or Phil or John Paragon, but I would go, I was lucky enough to be there for every performance when they did it at the Groundlings. And I would just stand there and I thought, so this is what real talent is. You know, I'd only been in town a couple of years. And I, and you know, watching John and Phil and Paul and Lynn, it was just magic. And right away, I remember looking at Lynn and say, I want to be friends with this person. I just love her so much. And she has no idea who I am, but I will, if she doesn't want to be my friend, I will love her from afar.
You know, he was a handsome young buck of a stage manager.
Oh, you were after every guy in that whole place.
Now, ad-libbing, improvising, going off script is part of a fake radio production, and you're both masters of improv and sketch comedy, going back to the Groundlings. And Lynn, you as Miss Yvonne on Pee-wee's Playhouse, how do you strike that balance between ad-libbing and staying true to the script?
Well, I like, I mean, if you can throw in a line in here and there, but when it's a classic, I like sticking pretty close to the script because I want the audience to recognize it, you know, and follow along. If you go too far off, you know, they'll laugh, but they could possibly get a little lost because it's like, what are they doing? But where I think the fun is in the commercial, because you can really cut loose in the commercials. That's where I think a lot of the humor is.
It finally happened.
Hello.
Hi, David.
Hi, Ken. Good to see you, old
Hi,
friend.
Good
David.
To see you. I hear Isaac in the
Lynn.
Background.
Yes, Isaac is here. My time will be slightly limited, but to join in for whatever I can during our bedtime.
David, Ken was asking me a little bit about history of fake radio, and my history is that I started doing it at the Fake Gallery. David brought me in for one part, and I did Dracula. And I said to him after, I said, this was great. Can I do this again? And he said, oh, yeah, yeah. So I've been doing it ever since. But you may have, you know, the more of the history than I do, David.
Yeah, the history, Ken, was that my friend Robin basically had this crazy idea. He and his wife, his then wife, Mary, knew a bunch of sort of alternative comics back in the day. So Bill Dwyer, Maria Bamford, you know, people like this, Jeremy Kramer, who used to do a lot of stand-up in San Francisco. And he just wanted a simple way to bring all of his comedy friends together. So they would go out to like Barnes and Noble's and just read some of the shorter radio show scripts. And after a while, you know, in this kind of very underground way, they decided they were going to move it to the Fake Gallery, which was an old sort of art space on Melrose and Heliotrope in Los Angeles. At that point, Robin invited me to do It's a Wonderful Life, and I showed up, and, you know, there's Maria Bamford, who I'd already heard about and knew and liked, and here's Jeff Johnson, you know, singing his heart out while playing the guitar. And then, you know, Robin said, yeah, just show up and we'll do the show. And I said, well, that's fine. Just, you know, let me know what my part is. And he was like, no, just show up. I'll give it to you there. And I said, well, I mean, how are we supposed to perform? He goes, I said, okay. I mean, there's no rehearsal? And he goes, no, you're reading from a script. Do you really need to rehearse? And I said, well, no, I don't. I just assumed you guys all did. There were more people on stage than there were in the audience that night. I think we had 20 people maybe in the audience. I think we had roughly the same amount on stage, maybe a little bit more. And I thought it was the greatest show I'd ever done. And I told Robin and his wife uh-huh. and his brother, let me help you produce the show. To make a long story short, they said, you know, that's very nice of you to want to help, but no, we don't want your help. And I said, oh, okay. Well, can I still show up and perform? And I said, yeah. And so it was. And then a year later, Robin's now ex-wife got a much better job offer, and they moved to the East Coast. And I said, well, what are you going to do with the show? And he said, well, you wanted to produce the show, you do it. And I said, Well, I mean, I don't really, I mean, I like old time radio. I don't have any of the resources. I don't know any of the guest stars that you have. I don't have the scripts. He goes, I'll give all that to you. And I said, okay. And so it went. And this was probably back in, you know, 2000, 2002, somewhere in there, I took over. And over time changed up the cast to more mainstream it a little bit. Robin's friends were all, and still to this day, are insanely talented. But the show was kind of an insider show for other comics and actors, and I wanted to make it more approachable for the general public. So we started off performing for, you know, 15 to 20 people at the Fake Gallery. And now, as you've seen, Ken, you know, we, at least at the old church, started pulling, you know, 200 to 300 people, depending on the time of year. It's been a really long time since we've played at a larger venue in Portland. So we'll see what happens this Sunday. I'm hoping for a huge turnout. Who knows?
The thing I love about Fake Radio is the thing, David, why he's such a good director, is that he says, look, you can have fun as we go along. It can get more and more crazy, but you can't go off script, because we're reading a script here and we're playing something that people know. We can't, you know, the improv has to be really, it's very actually more difficult than it seems when you're up there. If you're in the audience watching, it seems like we're just throwing around, but you're always constantly going, all right, I don't want to go here. I don't want to go there. I don't want to take it too far, because we have to stick to the script and get through the script.
All of the sort of original moving parts of Robin's, you know, germ of an idea are still there, right? So people show up, we're still reading a script, so folks don't need to memorize it. But as John was suggesting, they do still need to prepare, because even if you plan to improvise in advance based on, you know, a line in a script, the flow of the show may indicate at that particular moment of time, yeah, no, I'm not going to do this. So there is some sort of in the moment calculation that occurs. But yeah, that's kind of where we're at.
Just what we do also, we dress in 40s style with the hats and the 40s ties and the pleated pants and everything. And we have these great mics, and I can't think of the name of the mics. What are they, David?
Ear Trumpet Labs is the name of the local Portland. It's a kind of a small little factory, all handmade, and it's a family business.
They really made a difference. Philip and Maliki.
Yeah, they're really just good. Tremendous mics. They continue to be one of our sponsors, and for that, I'm still very grateful.
Well, Lynn, we've mentioned a few of the actors. David has, John has. I mentioned Phil Proctor, the Firesign Theater. There's three kids in the hall: Kevin McDonald, Dave Foley, Mark McKinney. Lorraine Newman from SNL, Phil Lamar, Deborah Wilson from Mad TV, Mindy Sterling, Ray Romano, Fred Willard, Jeff Garland, George Wendt, Marsha Wallace. So it's kind of like being part of this Improv Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's so exciting. I got to work with Fred Willard, and I, you know, he was just fantastic, and he was a friend. And you do, you go and you see old friends, and so many of us have histories together, and it's just fun to get together and play.
We've been talking with David Koff, artistic director of Fake Radio, actor, writer, producer Jonathan Stark, co-creator of According to Jim, and actress Lynn Stewart, who you might know as Miss Yvonne on Pee-wee's Playhouse. They'll be performing in Fake Radio's version of the holiday classic Miracle on 34th Street from the original 1947 Lux Radio Theater broadcast this Sunday, December 3rd, at Eco Trust Irving Street Studio, 907 Northwest Irving Street in Portland. You can learn more about Fake Radio's Sunday show and purchase tickets in advance on their website, fakeradio.net. I'm Ken Jones with KBOO's News in Depth, wishing you all a miraculous holiday season.